Welcome back, 7-Eleven here on a Wednesday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. It is J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. We'll have Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, joining us coming up in 1 hour from now. Michael Landsberg on this Bell Let's Talk Day. Michael, of course, always an advocate and a very well-spoken advocate of mental health and his battles with depression, etc. He will join us coming up after 9. And at about 8:45 or so, we're going to take you to Sweden and talk to Ottawa native, former Ottawa senator for a short period of time, and now the leading goal scorer in the entire Swedish Elite League, Max Verano, who was named as well yesterday to the taxi squad for Canada's men's Olympic hockey team. So big feather in his cap for Max. He will join us in the show coming up at about 8:45 or so this morning.
Yeah, so cool, the journey, JR, for like David Desharnais. Did Stahl play in 2010 for Canada, JR?
I think he did.
Yeah. But for these different guys, like, and again, I saw some of the rosters. Was it Fabian Holzer or whatever? I was had him.
Orbanian Holzer?
When I was with the Leafs, he's 33 years old. So just different journeys of guys that, you know, had the NHL been going, probably while in Canada, would not go. It's an awesome opportunity. And for Max to go and play in Sweden, that's a real cool little town where the World Junior was years ago. So great life experience for him. And now all of a sudden you get to go to the Olympics. And I'm assuming if he wants to stay over in Europe, like I said, leading goal scorer in the Swedish league, you know, that's a pretty big deal. So he'll
don't score goals in that league.
No, they really don't. But, you know, it's a really good level of hockey, really smart tactically. And that might open doors for him to return or open doors to go to the KHL or to Switzerland and have a real nice life for himself.
All right. So we'll talk to Max coming up at about 8:45 or so this morning. Lots of texts coming in on last night's Sens game about the Batherson injury, the Dell hit, what the Sens should or should not have done. Again, we'll get through all of those. And when you text us, please, today of all days on this Bell Let's Talk Day, use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Because 5 cents will be donated for mental health initiatives on behalf of Bell for everybody that does that. An important point someone made, that if you have an iPhone, turn off your iMessage, right? Because it will not register. All right. So, and of course, standard messaging rates apply. Realize that part of it. But if you have one of those all-encompassing plans, it does not matter. So today, if you remember, turn off your iMessage if you have an iPhone. Okay, 7:13. Let's quickly take it down to the Australian Open because they are in the fourth set. Felix is up 2-1. He's within a game of winning the match versus Daniil Medvedev, but they're on serve. And right now, 30-30. So he's 2 points from winning the match, but Medvedev is serving.
It's hard to hear what's going on as Medvedev serves here.
Oh my golly.
Of course, it's a net cord. It was a good serve out wide, but Ože Aliassime read it and ripped the forehand right back at Medvedev.
He plays so fast, Medvedev. There's hardly time to think.
It really isn't. 4-5-30 all. He goes down the middle. It's a double. It's a double for match point for the Canadian. Felix Ože Aliassime.
Drum roll,
he's
please.
On the precipice here. And everybody knows it, including Daniil Medvedev, who faces match point against him. He serves out wide, pumps his fist as he delivers an unreturnable serve.
Huge pump of the fist to Gilles Savard in his box. Massive serve.
It just looks like he loves
down.
It. It looks
he's
like he loves
so
it.
So good. So good.
Juicy serves out wide. Felix's forehand floats long. And Medvedev has a game point for 5-all. And he's ready to go already.
He is just amazing.
Medvedev serves. Where does he go? He goes on to the forehand of Ože Aliassime. Clubs away the backhand. Up goes the defensive lob. And it's annihilated by Medvedev.
A massive roar into the crowd after putting that smash away.
All right, so there we go. I probably, if you're just we have the ability to watch as that's being described because they're just kind of yelling incoherently at times. Anyway, Medvedev ends up saving a match point and winning the game, so it's now 5-5. Again, you got to win by two once you get to five, so there'll be at least two more games in the match. We'll keep you right up to date. And when and if this fourth set is reaching its culmination, we will take you back to Melbourne and find out if Felix can finish off Medvedev and move on to the semifinals.
We're 0-2, guys. I don't know if we should go back to coverage again.
I'm getting saying we're bad luck?
I'm getting into that Canadian mode where I'd switch the channel. I'd be so nervous about whether or not he's going to end up bringing it home. So, yeah, it's wow. Yeah, let's hope he can finish her off.
All right. Okay, so up to date on that throughout the day. 7-16. Okay, let's revisit last night's end game. A 5-0 win. And the win and kind of all the good stuff has kind of been lost in the entire, well, not even so much about the Drake Bathurst as an injury, but the Sens' response or lack thereof, according to a lot of you, to the hit on Batherson last night. But let's start with what ended up being a big night for this guy.
Puck is cleared out to center. Gaudette inside the line, takes the feed, goes in between his own legs, and Fred scores! What a pass from Gaudette! What a finish from Tyler Ennis!
There you go. That was the first of three for Tyler Ennis last night. He scored a hat trick, the second of his career. Final goal came in the final minute of the game, at which point, because there were no fans in the stands, one single hat made its way onto the ice off the head of Anton Forsberg, the backup goalie. Here's Tyler Ennis on that.
It would have been nice to have a few more hats out there, but it was nice of Forsy to chuck one out there at least for me.
There you go. He was having a big laugh on the bench when that happened.
Yeah, and I thought in that first goal when Gaudette made that beautiful move, Pierre Maguire must have been doing like a break dance or must have been going back and through the box.
That's my quarterback.
Oh, that was a sweet feed.
It was.
For Tyler Ennis, just finding the net, working hard, and hey, overall for Ottawa. And then the other, I guess, nice part, JR, that Chabot collision with the stanchion could have been pretty serious. Mm. So it was nice to see him return because, you know, that's not to me dirty. That's just a really awkward play. And I'm assuming that was more head than shoulder related, right?
Yeah, I thought it was shoulder, okay, but I was, okay. And when he was down, absolutely, I was thinking, oh, this could be bad. But as he walked down the hall, he kind of raised his shoulder, his arm above his head, kind of as he was talking to the doctor. And when he was able to do that right away, I was thinking, okay, that probably isn't going to be too serious. And boom, he was right back out on the ice. I don't know if he even ended up missing a shift.
No, and then sometimes it just scares you, right? I mean, like, that area, as you start to head into it, like, we don't see in any, well, we do see any contact around the bench, right? The players realize, man, there's not going to be any glass here. And then what you're also not expecting is all of a sudden when that stanchion, now, thank God those things are protected. Back in the day, there were some pretty serious injuries when there wasn't padding on those as well.
All right, it was a big night for Matt Murray as well. Made some big saves early in the game. Got the benefit of an early whistle by the referee that negated what probably should have been an opening goal for the Sabres. Then after that, I thought he really wasn't troubled for a long period of time as the Sens started to pile up the goals. And then in the third period when they had the big lead, they kind of let the foot off the gas a little bit, and he made two or three pretty good saves as well. But when it was all said and done, a 32-save shutout for Murray, his first of the year, third of his Sens career, and he has now somewhat quietly put together a streak here in his last four games of three wins, an overtime loss, and some pretty good statistics, including, I believe, a save percentage up around .940. So some better hockey from Matt Murray, which I think of all the developments that can happen between now and the end of the year is probably the most important for Matt Murray to find his game. Yeah. Early days, short sample size. Yeah. But pretty positive results.
Yeah, and I'm encouraged, JR, more so than watching the Calgary and Edmonton games, because he was good, but I still felt like there wasn't quite the aggression. He wasn't attentive from the puck drop in Washington on Saturday, and then again last night. He's just out. He's on his edges. It's almost like, okay, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm a big guy. Yeah, I'm really, and as I said, I wonder if having a little closure of returning to Pittsburgh and also getting a bit of love and recognizing, hey, I'm right there with Tom Barrasso. I've won two Stanley Cups, and you know, I'm an iconic person. I doesn't have to always be about Marc-Andre Fleury, and this has been whatever it's been. It's been a nice little reset, and I'm more encouraged now after these two starts than I have been any time since he's been in Ottawa.
All right, so those were the positives. Ennis hat-trick, Murray shutout, overall, you know, really good game, and a Sens win. Those are all the positives. And then there was this.
Final minute of play in period number one. Going down in behind the net and going down hard on the play was Drake Batherson. Gets up slowly.
This was an interference on the goaltender. Aaron Dell came out and completely interfered with Drake. Drake lost his balance and went awkwardly into the end boards, left leg first.
So that was Dean Agord's call in live time, aptly described. And, yeah, it was pretty ugly, and it was pretty apparent right away. Well, I shouldn't say that. He crashed hard into the boards. His immediate reaction wasn't kind of pounding his gloves on the ice in extreme pain. Not to say that he probably wasn't in a lot of pain, but I thought, ooh, that was a hard one, but you know, a hard hit, but maybe he's okay. Mm. And then as he got up and then couldn't put any weight, yeah. and he's talking to the ref,
yeah.
right? And I'm sure he's saying, hey, listen, the guy interfered with me, and probably using a few expletive deleteds as well. Mm-hmm. Then it became readily apparent that this was, ooh, that's a very, very significant injury. And it turns out after the game that, yeah, that was confirmed. Here's DJ Smith in our post-game show on the Batherson injury.
Drake looks like he's going to be a lot longer. You know, unfortunately for him, kid has a chance to go to his first All-Star game. You know, it's a bad play by the goalie. He's done it before. We've seen all the replays. You know, any other player in the game that does that, you know, you have to go out there and face the music, I guess. And it's, I mean, certainly the league will look at whatever, but it's a bad play. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you could tell he wanted to say more, but bit his tongue on what further he wanted to say. We'll get to the response or lack thereof in just a second, but I did want to also bring you the comments of Aaron Dell. He spoke to Buffalo reporters after the game about his hit on Batherson.
I mean, I was just trying to buy some time for my defenseman and step into his lane. I hope he's all right. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
Ottawa's coach just mentioned that he will be out long-term and will miss the All-Star game. So, I mean, any reaction to that news?
That sucks. I really didn't want to hurt anybody, and I really hope he's all right.
All right. So that was the reaction of Aaron Dell when informed indeed Batherson was significantly injured and would miss the All-Star game. DJ Smith referred to the fact that Aaron Dell has a history of doing this. He did it earlier this year. Did you say it was Matt Duchene?
No, I'm joking there. Okay. Only because the Stone one was, and I'm thinking, oh, God, there's all Sens players. No, but it was.
Done it with Stone a couple of years ago. Yeah, very similar. Yeah, a little further out. Not as dangerous a spot as the Batherson one.
Yeah.
But there was one just earlier this season when he took out a Nashville player along the board.
Well, the one on Nashville, like I said, you're so far out of the net that as a goaltender, I'm probably making a decision last second of protecting myself. So I thought that was more comical, but I didn't realize the background. When you see the Stone one, but this one here, I mean, it just, as I said, and there's no doubt. I don't think this is one of your cases where you're trying to hurt anybody, but you did. You know, I mean, you get back to any of the things there. Is it premeditated? Absolutely not, but it's reckless and on your part and just real sad for a fella, I'm assuming now, will end up missing the All-Star game.
Well, you will for sure.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Confirmed.
Yeah, so that's that to me, and like I say, the guys work so hard. It's just a wasted play. Like I say, late January, and almost makes me think when I have a conversation, JR, about guys going to the Olympics, right? And, you know, you just never know what's going to happen in your career in an All-Star game or all these different things, and just enjoy them when you can because something that simple in a contact sport, and unfortunately, you're out.
Now, again, you play the position of net. You came out to play pucks all the time, I'm sure, and I think as we all know, those of us who have either played the game or watched the game for a long time, that the rule is, as the goalie, it is an unwritten rule. You don't hit the goalie, and the goalie also doesn't do what he did last night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, when you start doing things like you did last night, then you're going to have guys who aren't going to go around you. They're going to go through you the next time. Correct?
Yeah, well, and in response even now, JR, but overall, I mean, if that's Drake Batherson leveling a shoulder on the goalie, it's a fight or a line brawl. Now, I don't think Bill LaForge, when I played junior, got the memo, and when Denny Vial would, I can still remember him, I'm like, it appears that he's coming towards me and I have the puck, and it appears that he's not going to stop and he would level you. But it's changed for sure. And that, you know, that's the unfortunate of it, but yeah, for sure for the goaltender and for Drake Batherson, the real tough spot is, you know, it's like playing lacrosse where you're trying to avoid the crease. You're leaning to a spot right there as you realize, wow, I'm trying to catch the net and I'm on a forecheck here trying to chase down the defender, but you've put yourself in such a vulnerable spot as you start to lean, and with a goaltender being strong and having his footing there, he just ends up leveling you.
All right, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Should there have been a bigger response to the Batherson hit from the Sens? Simple yes or no. And I can tell you that for some reason this is reset. But there was a number of it was before this reset, it was 84%. And unsurprisingly, yes, there should have been a bigger response from the Sens. Now, we saw a couple of things. We saw Brady Tkachuk, I think on his very next shift, kind of get right in his face and obviously letting him know something. And we had Austin Watson, I think, early in the next period go in there on a jam play. He gets knocked down by Dahlin. He's kind of saying something to Dell. After that, at least there may have been some things verbalized on the ice, but there was, I don't think, anything else from a physical point of view to either Dell or any other, because, you know, what some people were talking about on the broadcast and through social media was, well, you can't hit the goalie, or, you know, that's not, you know, kosher in this day and age. But what you can do out is go make it hard on one of their star players. Yeah. Go out and take a run at Rasmus Dahlin or some other star player. You know, eye for an eye kind of thing. I don't remember anything specific through the rest of the game. The game kind of played after the Watson thing. I think the game sort of played itself out,
yeah.
And maybe the score had part of it to do with it. But I don't remember anything else in terms of a response from.
No, for sure. And you know, again, no crowd there. It's January. It's a Tuesday night. You're playing Buffalo, JR. What I'll be very curious of, and it's only speculation. Some people are saying, well, you know, they're had a couple of injuries and they're down, and maybe DJ Smith told them not to do anything. First of all, I would find that incredibly hard to believe. But I'll fast forward to the 17th of February when they play Buffalo again, and I'm not expecting a line brawl or anything else, but I'll just be curious to see how Ottawa approaches the game, that's all.
Well, yeah, that is part of it as well, right? There's the for those that say there should have been, and it's by far the majority of people saying that, there is the idea of we will meet again, and in this case, as you just pointed out, it's not that far down the road. It's less than a month away that these two teams will meet again.
Yeah.
I don't know if Drake Batherson is not the kind of guy who's going to grab his pound of flesh anyway. He's not that player.
Nor do I expect him to.
Right. But you know, for some who are saying, hey, how come nothing happened in that game? There is the idea that you can also get your pound of flesh, as it were, at some point down the road.
Well, here's if it does happen, and again, Donny Granato is well-versed in this as well, JR. He's not a fool. But if you go to the 17th and there is a bit of a response for the Sens, to me, that's been a message from management and the coaches. Because for the players, and this is a few years ago, and I can't remember, it must have been Carlson got leveled in the corner. And of all people, Chris Phillips is on the ice, and Chris Phillips doesn't want to fight, but he recognizes, hey, got to go and drop the gloves. Got to have a little response there. Now, when Batherson got hit. Now, for how many players even knew what was going on, I didn't expect anybody to charge the goaltender. But like I said, for what I'm trying to build on any hockey team, this is my star player. And what Ottawa has really tried to build on old school is a bit of a junior mentality. And as I said, I give a pass to Watson and Tkachuk. I just thought that's a game where Josh Brown, you're up 5-0, Jer. Why aren't you running around a little bit? And I'm not talking, like I said, cross-checking guys in the face. But if you're supposed to be a rough-and-tumble player, like where is any of your response? Like, that's all I'm saying. Hey, like I said, I recognize I'm not talking slapshot, but I'm talking about, yeah, come on, man. This is the culture you're trying to build. Your all-star player in an absolute cheap shot got injured and is going to miss the all-star game.
Do you think that, and I don't know how much Drake Batherson is keeping track of the rest of the game while he's dealing with his ankle injury. I don't know if he ended up going to the hospital or whatever ended up happening.
Yeah.
Do you think if he was keeping track, watching it in the dressing room or whatever, that he is disappointed with his team's so-called lack of response?
I would never want to go that far.
Feeling like the team isn't behind me?
No, but I'd never want to go that far, JR, because I don't never know the dynamics. By all accounts, he appears to be very well-liked. Now, growing up in a bit of an old-school hockey family, and I'll even say to the Tkachuks, would I enjoy if somebody, one of my teammates, stepped up and did something? Absolutely I would. But to go as far as to say he'd be disappointed, I wouldn't want to say that. That to me, you know, unless you're within a locker room. But, you know, would I mind? No, absolutely not. And as I said, I still don't think, I know that has not gone from the game. Like I said, there are clean hits all the time. And I thought there was some great back and forth, I think, with Eric Malcolmel and Stu Grimson. And I respect both sides of it. But also Stu pointed out, hey, when you're playing on a team and your teammate gets leveled, I understand, but there's also a feeling of, hey, my buddy just got knocked down, my brother that I go to war with, I got to step up here and challenge a guy. And I totally respect and understand that, having played, you know, a very high level of hockey even a long time ago, but just being a part of team. And as I said, for Ottawa as a young hockey team, if I'm trying to build something up right now, this is a big fabric of the culture. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I I'm going to go back to this. You know, kind of what do people want to see?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what I've challenged your point on.
Yeah.
You know, what is it that would have made it right?
Oh,
you know, and if we're let me finish my point. You know, if we all agree that the days of the bench clearing brawl and running the goalie, that's no longer the way it works in the National Hockey
League,
whether you like it or not. Okay, what would ever be a half measure? I guess my point in all this is, of all the things I don't worry about the Ottawa Senators, it's that they don't feel like they're a team. I really, really feel that, both on the ice and the stuff you see behind the scenes. And I know it's all cut together by the team's social media and you're only going to see the good stuff. But it's just a general feel. Like, I do feel like everybody on that team has each other's backs. Yeah. And so for somebody to feel the need in that moment in time to go out and extract their pound of flesh from Aaron Dell or somebody else when there is going to be a game down the road and perhaps another opportunity, and perhaps it's Drake Batherson, although doubtful, that wants or says he has to do it or whatever it is, there are other opportunities to do this. The one thing I don't think that happened last night is that somehow the Ottawa Senators wilted in the moment of not being a team and not having each other's backs. I don't feel that at all. Yeah. I really don't.
Oh, I agree with you, JR. I'm not saying, but as I said, I would have personally, and I am singling out, unfortunately, Josh Brown, I would have been every time, and I don't know how many times he's in the offensive zone, but every time there's a face-off, I would have been cruising in on the goaltender and verbally getting involved, and if somebody gets in front of me, I drop the gloves. As simple as that. I just say, and again, I'm not looking for old school, and I also don't want to see anybody lose any money out of their pocket. Like, I don't want someone to, hey, you got to go out and take a 5-game suspension, or the coach throws a guy over the boards. Oh, but you could have been, and especially January, two teams playing for absolutely nothing on a Tuesday night and you're waxing Buffalo. You know, if you step up next game, to be quite honest with you, JR, then it's premeditated and somebody's told you. It's not going to mean anything at that point.
Okay, so lots of thoughts coming in on this, as you can imagine, and most of it sort of mirrors the way the web poll question has been. I'll just say this, as you send us your texts and your tweets, remember to use the hashtag BellLet'sTalk. On this Bell Let's Talk Day, and let's raise some money while we're getting all this angst off our chests collectively.
Nothing like talking about goon hockey on Bell Let's Talk Day.
Yes, more than a few people have pointed that out as well. All right, let's go through a few of these. Hey, guys, is it possible DJ told the players not to take a penalty by going after Dell? Just a thought. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk. P.S. Love the show. That's from Unsigned. Here's another one. Dell needs to know there are consequences for his actions right now. He can do whatever he wants to any superstar player on our team, and all he has to get is a tongue lashing. Not a strong enough message in hockey speak. It was embarrassing. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Another one here. Completely agree with Simmer. Should have went after one of their stars. If not, absolutely run the goalie. Fourth line guy should have done it. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk.
And the idea that DJ Smith said don't take a penalty, like, okay, I don't know. I wasn't in the room, but I find that pretty, hey, we're up 5-0. Don't take a bad penalty. That's ridiculous.
Aaron Dell should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. That's from Mike Stitchville.
That's old school. And that's back to, that's actually syphilis, but anyway.
Yes. Back in the day, Dell would not have finished the game. That comes from Unsigned. From Blaine, I'd rather have a 5-0 win. I get a sense that no one saw what actually happened in the moment. That's from Bell. Yeah. Blaine, hashtag Bell Let's Talk.
The funny part, they'll play on the 17th, and who will be in goal for Buffalo? Craig Anderson.
Yes. All right. So let's see here. Some others that are just coming in. So I'm reading these in live time here. Yeah. Josh Brown is not fast enough to be in the play or even three steps behind it. That's from Riaz. Just make the goalie fair play when he plays the puck. They had the chance to make contact when he played the puck later in the game. That's from RJ in Fitzroy. Yeah. And to that point, and I know some people have said, not specifically about last night, but just in general, when the goalie leaves the blue, should he be allowed to be physically played at that moment?
Absolutely not. But the majority goaltenders don't play it that way, JR, like I said. And Drake Batherson, unfortunately, is a complete reverse. Drake put himself in a very vulnerable spot by trying to get away, and goaltenders aren't thinking that way. So, no, you don't want to have that. And, you know, again, that spot, if it's a reverse, well, you know that the Buffalo players have to fight at that point, right? I mean, the minute someone touches your goaltender, and anyone that's ever worn the goalie gear understands, you're just not in a position to defend yourself. But this guy, and not that Ottawa wouldn't know that this guy's done this before, JR, right? I kind of remember the Nashville one, but I had no idea on Mark Stone. It's not like they're like, hey, watch out for the goaltender tonight. He's dirty. I mean, most people don't even know who the hell Aaron Dell is.
Are you saying that's not in the pre-scout?
Yeah, exactly. Where's our goalie coach? You should have been telling us this.
Jason in Kempville. Wow, JR, getting soft. Look throughout the league. It happens on a good hit, and you don't want to send somebody on a dirty hit. Come on, man. That's from Jason in Kempville. And from Tyler, the Tire Tech, I would have loved to have seen crease crashing Chris Tierney. I'm not one to advocate running the goalie, but if Dell's going to throw his weight around, he should expect it back. Hashtag Bell. Let's talk from Tyler. Crease crashing Chris Tierney isn't quite as good as crease crashing Chris Kreider.
No.
But it's close. So there we go. All right. Again. Continue to use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk in this Bell Let's Talk Wednesday. Share your thoughts. It's pretty one-sided. I know I'm definitely in the minority on this one. If you had to guess, Simmer, Dave Poulin, when he joins us after 8, Philly Flyer, Boston Bruin, sharp elbows. Yeah. How do you think he comes down on this?
Well, what he says on the radio and what he actually believes, having watched Ron Hextall try to kill Chris Chelios, along with a number of other things. I'll be interested to see what Pooley says.
Yeah.
I think he recognizes, just like I do, the bigger part for a young culture that's built on kind of sticking together. Could there just be a little more emotion, a little more response? That's all I'd be curious of.
Final one. The response should have been to pound Dahlin all game with or without the puck. Hashtag Bell, let's talk.
Boy, he must be a pretty strong fella as well, JR, right?
Yeah,
I know Gambrell's not a big guy, but that hit was like, I could feel that in my rib cage, right? He just squeezed the poor fella right along there. That was a big-time hit.
All right, to bring you up to date on the tennis, by the way. Oh, my goodness. Felix lost the fourth set, 7-5. So the match is now even, two sets each. Fifth and deciding set is underway. Good news is Felix won his first game. They've basically been on serve for much of the match, but Felix got broken on his serve at 5-5. And then Medvedev finished it off. So they are into the fifth and deciding set. Felix up 1-0, and he's got 2 break points on Medvedev's serve. So
nice.
Got a chance to break him early on this fifth set. We know the history of Felix in 5 sets has not been good. Maybe today's the day the curse is broken. We'll keep you up to date throughout the rest of the hour on that big quarterfinal match down under as we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back. Don't forget, it's our big game contest with Gabriel Pizza. We got $100 up for grabs 3 times today. Once with us, once on In the Box, once on the drive. Chance for you to win $100 to spend at Gabriel Pizza. With the big game coming up, Super Bowl Sunday, February the 13th, we're giving away 3 $100 gift certificates every single weekday between now and that day. So we'll have it sometime between now and 10 o'clock. Your first chance to win today here on TSN 1200. Back to the texting machine at 12-1200. And again, today of all days, when you text us, make sure you use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk on this Bell Let's Talk day. Bell will donate 5 cents for every text, call, tweet, or TikTok video using the hashtag Bell Let's Talk, a social media video view and use of the Facebook frame or Snapchat lens using the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. See if we can break last year's record of 159 million interactions, which brought the 11-year total on Bell Let's Talk to 1.3 billion interactions, which has raised $121 million in 11 years for mental health initiatives. Please use that all day. Again, the one thing we can tell you, if you're not on the Bell system, a phone call does not register, okay? So I know some people will tell, hey, if I'm on the, you know, if I'm on the other guy's network, does that? No, it does not. So you have to be on the Bell system for that. So use a text instead. Okay, this text comes in at 12-1200. Dell's bell should have been rung. Hashtag Bell, let's talk. That's
I
wrong.
Go with Dirty Dell, and I want Pav on it right now, the Dirty Diana song.
Oh, dear.
We got to get old Dirty Dell.
Mike in Orleans, this is not the old NHL. The Wild West mentality is gone. Player safety should toss the book at this third-rate goalie. Hashtag Bell, let's talk. That's from Mike in Orleans. And again, to bring you up to date for those that don't know, so Darren Dreger has tweeted at this point that they are obviously aware of what went on, and they are looking at it. There has been no definitive word on if they are going to call a hearing or not. It has been 15 years. This is the research that I was able to do last night. 15 years since an NHL goalie has been suspended. And of all guys, it was Noodles McLennan back in what turned out to be his last game as an NHLer with the Calgary Flames, got a 5-game suspension.
Yeah, yeah, just you don't see it very often, JR. Do you think Batherson would have the ability or want to go to the All-Star game, JR, even just if you went down and you couldn't play? Because to me, the All-Star experience and even the family and stuff, boy, it's such a shame. Like I said, I remember Shabbat's family, how excited they were, and well, that's just such a cool experience.
If I was, I know you never know. You can never say never, and I'll have the opportunity to go again. So if you know, maybe you should go. I don't know. If I couldn't play, it would feel. Everybody's different, but I would think for me, if I thought about it, geez, if I couldn't play, I don't know if I'd want to go down and just kind of skulking around the outside.
I
should have been playing, but I'm not, fellas. Yeah. And
no, everyone's different. And you walk in, and people are kind of like, "Who is the guy on crutches?"
Right.
But I would personally. That's like if I was part of the team, I'd say, "Hey, man, your family's already planned to go. Just go and enjoy the weekend. You're out anyway. And like I say, grab your swag, grab your jersey, and like you say, you never know if you're going to get this opportunity again."
This one, and then I don't want this to take over the entire show because we would have the ability to do that. And we'll talk about it more with Dave Poulin. Dave in Chapel Hill. So if this happened in a Pee Wee game, someone should extract retribution. Don't tell me it's not the same. It's exactly the same. We grow up playing hockey with every coach and every parent telling us that retaliation is wrong. At what point do they say, "Hey, remember what we said about sportsmanship and being the bigger person? That was all BS. If someone hurts you, you should try and hurt them back." That's from Dave in Chapel Hill. Hashtag Bell, let's talk. So that's kind of, Dave, you're definitely in the minority on that. But that's kind of the other side to look at this entire thing. All right, 7:48. I did want to play one more clip from Tyler Ennis. Of course, this has his hat trick last night was overshadowed by what happened with Batherson. But, of course, he was a healthy scratch just a couple of games ago, got back in the lineup in Columbus. I thought had an effective game, six more shots last night for Tyler Ennis. Here's his thoughts on getting back in the lineup.
I've done it quite a bit in my career. As you get older, sometimes a little rest is helpful. You know, it's a long season. We have a lot of games in a short period of time. So, you know, let the body kind of heal up a bit and come in fresh.
Okay, there you go.
Have him and Colin White ever been seen in the same room? I didn't realize the interview, and I guess I don't recall, but both in his in-game interview and that post-game, there, he's a chill dude.
He is, very much so, very much. I bet you he'd be a little bit of fun, I'm guessing, behind the scenes.
I think he's one of those guys cruises around in the Volkswagen van, eh? I wouldn't even doubt that he'd get out.
Hang on, in what way?
Oh, not in a bad way. He's out for the surfing auction.
Yeah, gotcha.
Not like Spicoli. No, none of that.
Okay, and again, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Should there have been a bigger response on the Batherson hit, yay or nay? And I don't have to tell you, it's not even close right now. 81% to 19% that yes, they should have done more.
Yeah, and it's made for some fun radio, JR, and I know you're not just taking another side to, you know, we're having some fun back and forth. I just love to know internally as to what DJ Smith honestly feels, because as I said, not that it matters, but he has built a culture and has talked about having people around for a very different mentality than, I know there's still team toughness, but I think some of his old school, having Sabourin around for an entire year, carrying Josh Brown and dressing Austin Watson and, well, Tkachuk, I mean, God, the guy does it every night. But I just love to know as he wakes up this morning how he's feeling about his group.
So not so good now for Felix. I think when we went into the break, I was saying, hey, he's got a chance here to go ahead. He actually dropped his service game, and so now he's down 3-1 in the fifth and deciding set. So Felix is, he's not on the ropes yet. but he's teetering, unfortunately. Lost, won the first two sets, lost the next two, and is down 3-1 in set five to Daniil Medvedev. So we'll keep you up to date on that. We talked a lot yesterday, or at least somewhat, about Pierre Dorion, Pierre Maguire's scouting visit to Minnesota on Monday night. What to read into that? Was it to look at Montreal? Was it to look at Minnesota? Was it to look at players from both teams? Kind of had some fun. Talked about Tyler Toffoli. Talked about Kevin Fiala, potentially. Here's Pierre LeBrun last night from Insider Trading on who they were looking at.
It's interesting because a lot of people assume when they saw him there that he was there to check out the Habs, because of course we know the Habs are going to be sellers. But that's not really the case as far as I can tell. What I'm told is that Pierre Dorion was there to watch the Minnesota Wild play, and that Pierre Dorion and Bill Guerin, the GM of the Wild, did have a brief discussion. Now, I don't think anything is in the works. I don't think anything is imminent, but I believe he was there to see Minnesota, one of the teams that the Senators at their pro scouting meetings last week did talk about in preparation for the trade deadline, a team that's up against the cap. Does it? And the bottom line is, I think you'll see Pierre Dorion at other NHL games not involving the Senators between now and the deadline, so get used to it.
So is LeBrun suggesting that the Senators, and I think one of the things people talked about that they haven't done is over the last couple of years when they've had all the cap space is to, as the saying goes, weaponize their cap space. In other words, you know, for the price of prospects, draft picks, whatever, take a bad contract from a team that's got cap issues, which would allow them to potentially, you know, bring in somebody that's better, and the Sens would reap the benefit. Is that what you glean from what LeBrun is saying there?
I guess so, JR. But what also, and again, I'll take, and Pierre is very dialed in, so he's pretty accurate on the Minnesota part, but the decision to fly to Minnesota halfway across the country on a Monday night to watch Minnesota-Montreal, I don't do that right now if it's, you know what I mean? That is absolutely imminent. There is something going on. And as to what that is really interesting. And if that is the case, if you're a Sens fan and it's a legitimate hockey trade and at the same time you're taking on salary, you have to be really excited because for a team that's not generating any revenue right now, it's a pretty bold move to end up doing. I don't care what owner you are to do it. So if that's what it is, but the timing of it, like I said, there has to be more to it. And also from Minnesota standpoint, now they obviously cannot move buyout money, right? You can't trade the buyout contracts. Right. I mean, if you take a look at their thing, JR, and this is what we kind of talked about, what direction are they going to go in? I believe it's after this year, and I'll pull it up again, but they got about three seasons where they're hit with, what, 10 or 15 million on buyouts?
Yeah.
So, you know,
the next three seasons.
You know, they could really use some help. Now, are they interested in attaching a contract to a first round pick? And like I said, if Ottawa was willing to do that at this point, yeah, as I said, I absolutely applaud them for doing it.
So, of all of the players that we all think could be targets, the pending UFAs on Ottawa, so that's, you know, Holden, Tierney, help me with the list now.
Paul and Sanford. Yeah. Those are the kind of, and
seems like
Forsberg. I mean, yeah. I don't really see, you know, just Forsberg is an insurance policy,
correct,
right?
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think Zach Sanford, I would believe. I don't know that Nick Paul is going to, and maybe I was colored by his comments from yesterday of how much he wants to remain here in Ottawa. He almost, by his comments yesterday, basically told his agent, I'll take a hometown discount. Yeah. That was what I took from it.
Yeah.
And maybe his agent has to talk him out of that. But as a pending UFA, listen, by his comments, he's and by his play, and he's not going to break the bank. The Ottawa Senators should absolutely be re-signing Nick Paul.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you go through the Minnesota contract. Zuccarello, who's actually having a pretty good year, or a very good year, he has a full no movement. Because when you start to look at that, you say, okay, who do you want to get off the books? And the only other name that I could come up with, JR, would be Marcus Foligno, you know, that is making a decent amount at 3.1.
I think he's a pretty important part of that team.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying you're trying to go through and understand, well, if that's the case, you know, what would you be looking to move or to dump? Hartman has a couple of years left, but it's only making 1.7.
He's been a good player, too. Good player.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. We'll talk all things hockey with Dave Poulin coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Aaron Rodgers did his weekly visit on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And, of course, all the talk with A-Rod has been, what's your future going to be after the big loss to San Francisco on the weekend? Here's Aaron Rodgers on if he does retire, what comes next?
One thing I would not do, 100% would not do, is retire and then, you know, come back a year later. Like, that's just
okay.
I don't have any desire to do that. That makes no sense. I feel like I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, you know, in a really good place, especially with Brian and the way our friendship and trust has grown, where it would be a simple conversation and whatever comes out of that conversation is moving forward. There's not going to be any weird, you know, standoff, war of silence or anything.
As far as a timeline for his decision, Roger says he'll have it before kind of the next chunk of the offseason begins for the Packers, which is free agency, begins early in March. You got to make a decision on, you know, free agents, et cetera, on your own team, let alone signing others. And they've got they're the second worst team in terms of cap space in the NFL in being in a bad way. So they got a lot of work to do in Green Bay. But what Aaron Rodgers decides, if he wants to A, retire, or B, just go to another team, will go a long way into deciding, I think, what the Packers decide to do as well. They've made it more than clear they want to keep him. And he said, I will make a decision one way or the other before you have to make all of your decisions.
Yeah, I guess you look at what else is out there, JR, how it plays out, and you would have to think that Adams is linked to it. And there were some whispers around the league of him trying to create a super team and possibly both of them going to the Denver Broncos, but that is a speculation at this point. And hey, I also look at, they were built to win. They should have done a whole lot better. And the only thing that's ever in the back of my mind, guys, when it comes to Green Bay, I keep thinking to myself, not that they would have won a Super Bowl, but that first round pick that's a quarterback that is sitting on your roster the last couple of years that's done nothing for you has really, at the end of the day, been a completely wasted asset for a team that was meant to win now.
And you kind of, you know, at the time, Aaron Rodgers expressed his disappointment. That was kind of his feeling. Like, we got a chance to win here.
Yeah, man.
And it's kind of like goalies, right? There's only one guy that can play quarterback. Yeah. There's only one guy that can be the quarterback of the team, and I'm the quarterback, and the other guy's going to, you know, as long as I'm playing well, sit on the bench.
Yeah.
That's not going to help us win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, the other football thing from yesterday, Sean Payton resigned as head coach of the Saints, one of the longest tenured coaches in the NFL, been there since 2006. In the 15 seasons, they had winning seasons in 12 of the 15. He's an excellent coach. They won a Super Bowl. They're always, or have been, when Breeze was there, a contender, always a top offense. But sounds like he's just a little bit burnt out. Mm-hmm. May have looked at their cap situation, which is the only one that's worse in the NFL than the Saints. They're $74 million over the cap, and they really don't have a long-term solution at quarterback. I think if I'm going to maybe decide to take my leave, if I'm Sean Payton, the timing may have been right.
Oh, so, my gosh, yeah. I mean, I don't care how much of a quarterback whisperer you are. If you can't, the person can't hear you. Yeah, I also, and again, what was interesting, he said, I'm not ruling out coaching in the future. You know, he was one of the people that was tied to going to Vegas. And do they turn around and ever offer a crazy amount? Because this is your quick exit out of town in the sense of you're not having it holding a presser the next day. It's been saying, hey, I'm going to retire. And, you know, a month from now, do you start hearing the whispers that he's interested in coming back?
Yeah, I got the sense that I do think he's a little bit burnt out.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure he is. Yeah,
and you know, he's signed through 2024, so if a team wants him as their coach, they're gonna have to trade for his rights, and so you're gonna have to give up assets. Which, if he's a great coach, it would be worth it. I really think the way it's gonna play out because he lives in Dallas in the offseason. He used to coach, assistant coach with the Cowboys way back in the day. I think the way this is gonna work out is Mike McCarthy's gonna go back for another year. He's going to not lead the Cowboys to another Super Bowl and probably do something stupid. They're going to fire him after next season, and they're going to hire Sean Payton.
Yeah, no,
you
that
can
makes
mark
sense,
it sure. down yeah, that that's yeah, what's going yeah, to happen, yeah. that Sean Payton will coach the Cowboys in 2023.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense with Dak Prescott. And I can imagine, JR, I just don't – I know it's a stress in any industry, but I don't think there's anything like being a head coach of an NFL team. First of all, in the hours they put in, and then even the babysitting that goes on with the Michael Thomases of the world, and you know, it's a real, you know, it gets to the point where it can be life threatening for some of the guys.
All right, Felix Auger-Aliassime is down 3-2 in the fifth and deciding set to Daniil Medvedev, and Medvedev is serving as well, so he's broken Felix once. So. We're going to need to see a rally by Felix to win in this fifth set. We'll keep you up to date, but it is unfortunately not looking great. What had started with much promise has gone in the opposite direction. A top-of-the-hour news and sports update is on the way. And then Dave Pullen on the Sens win last night. The night for Tyler Ennis, Matt Murray, and Drake Batherson, and the Sens' response or lack thereof. Dave Pullen's thoughts when we come back on this Bell Let's Talk Wednesday. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk on any social media interaction today. Raises 5 cents for mental health initiatives. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.